Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, and this is Women United. And we are here today with some of the greatest minds in the United States of America, despite what CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and all the others, NBC, tell us. We know that we have great minds all over this country, and some of them are right here. And we know what causes a great mind, and we know what causes those who have the power. That being said, we are going to zero in today on Flint, Michigan, first of all. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things today. And in terms of Flint, Michigan and the water, it is truly, truly a travesty that humanity is no better than what it is in the United States of America. Yet we go all over the country, all over the world, the universe, and talk about other people. But here in Flint, Michigan, we have had people who were politicians who basically have said these people don't count, they don't matter, and we're going to keep covering it up because we need to save money. And it's all about our money and what we're going to do for corporate America and what we're going to do for our governor of Michigan. And just to add a couple of little points in, this is really what's happening in Benton Harbor, Michigan. When you had an advocate and a group of people there saying that this is not acceptable and we want to recall our mayor. And this is what we're willing to do. Get out, do the work, sign on, and make sure that it happens. And yet that individual ends up in the penitentiary because they're expressing themselves and saying, we want to have a recall. This individual has not served our needs. And there have been many things happening that just really are a travesty. And that one is a quiet one in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Benton Harbor, Michigan, where Reverend Pinckney is and has been transported all around to different correctional facilities. A 62-year-old man who's out there being an advocate, who's out there beating the bushes for equality for black people. And yet, there is not a lot of light being shown on that. So, I wish we had a black media. That way, perhaps, that would pick up on some of these issues. So, what's going on in Michigan? And we'll have Ms. Dunning, you want to start off with what you know about Michigan and the water, and then we'll take a couple of other of your topics. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I would love to start off about Michigan, and I would love to start off about my great state of America. The United States runs all over the world, talking about they want to be the leader. No, I rephrase that. They are the leader. They the one to take charge and lead. They the one want to run around and say they number one. But yet, right here in United States of America, the great state they call it, and here we are, got people. I saw this morning on the news that a lady said that when she bathed, her and her baby begin to itch and break out in little bumps and sores. This, she said that she went and complained about the water. They told her that it was everything was okay. This have been swept under the rug. And here it is, 5 months later. The governor knew about it for 5 months and did not do anything. then now once he have been exposed, now he trying to say that he didn't know nothing about it. He trying to pass it down to something else. Then one of our great advocates, who is a regular, Mr. Brown, calls me today and tells me, said they got a theory going around now. So people don't believe this lie they putting out now. They saying somebody from ISIS put something in the water, Mr. Brown said. This is the theory they got circling around, trying to slip the blame off of them and put it on ISIS. Well, we know that's a lie. We know United States government, I hope they have sense enough not to hold up to that lie, because that lie will be disclaimed, because you got documents proving that everyone knew about it. Even the city councilmen. You know, it's just sad that they're gonna, well, let me back up a little. People of color do not matter anyway. Because, you know, they said we three-fifths of a human. They said we don't matter anyway, so we not human. So we can do whatever we want to y'all, and nobody's going to be able to do anything about it because the Constitution says you're not human. The Constitution says that I can kill your babies and contaminate your babies and your kids and your seed from one generation to another one, and nothing is going to be done about it. So that's basically what they're saying. They're saying you people of color don't matter. You nothing. But okay, people need to step up, like Michael Moore have stepped up, Cher have stepped up. All different celebrities are coming on board and stepping up, bringing a light to what's going on. Why would it take so long? This have been going on over a year, that these people have been drinking this water that's so full of lead. Now, don't you know it haven't harmed some of their brain cells or did something to the body? And they can't say it haven't. So this ought to tell us something. Something is going on. Something is going on that we willing to sit back and keep quiet. And we're sitting back to keep quiet because it's money for the large corporations. And the corporations going to make money any way they can in any means necessary. And they don't care who they destroy and who they hurt. And this is what the Republican Party is about, destroying the people. So, and then we can't even put it all on Republicans, because we got some Democrats involved with it too. We got Democrats involved. People from all different walks of life is involved in this. So, okay, people, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to sit back and keep silent? Or we're going to get out and do something? But what can we do? Miss Hattie, how can the people reach out? Who do they need to reach out? Do they need to contact the president to tell them how outraged they are that this going on in America? You going over there trying to free water, clean water up in another country, and you can't even clean it up right here in your own country?
Well, I think that's right. That's exactly what we have to do. We have to start campaigns to our public officials and make sure that they understand that great numbers of Americans are quite saddened and irate by what's going on here in Flint, Michigan. And I would also say, Benton Harbor, Michigan. Benton Harbor, Michigan has a political prisoner, Reverend Pinckney. You can go online and look that up. Here's a man who was trying to be a leader, expressing his constitutional rights
for his community.
Mm-hmm. Black men were getting fished out of the river. They couldn't explain what was happening to these black men with their genitals cut off. All kinds of things were happening there. And Whirlpool, this is another thing we could do. Quit buying them Whirlpool products. You couldn't get me to touch a Whirlpool product. I don't care how cheap it is. Because that's who's in Benton Harbor, Michigan, messing over the people there. We have to make a statement with our pocketbook. Our money has to be made a statement. If we have money, we're supporting humane conditions, then we need to make sure we're aware of which companies are humane. Don't do business with these people that are not humane.
Don't do business.
Let me tell you one more. Hold up. I'm going to tell you one more. I'm going to give you three strategies I think we can do, the regular people. Call in to your public officials. Quit buying these products from people like Whirlpool that's in Michigan up there, creating all this hell and havoc on black folk, because that's what they're doing. And number three, that black man who is the emergency management manager who did this, who made the decision that they used like a pawn to have him make these kinds of decisions to take that water out of that Flint River and start using it, knowing it was contaminated, and then now sending him to Detroit to be the emergency manager over the Detroit school so he can go there and manipulate whatever they want him to do. He needs to be put on blast. I don't know his name. I heard it one time, but we need to put people like that on blast because these folks could not do what they're doing to us in these black communities unless they had some of us to go along with it and just say, oh, this is okay.
Well, you know, they always got one of us.
Hold up. It's certain things that we should not do to each other because we simply are not three-fifths of a human being. We are 100% human being. Now, you asked me. I just wanted to finish up my comment. Okay, break in.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Miss Hattie. I'm so sorry because the more you talk, forgive me for interrupting you, but the more you talk, the angrier I get. Because when you sit back and think about how this is going to harm this is going to go from generation to generation, being harmed mentally. And when they go to being harmed mentally, that means when they go to school, from all this lead, that means they're going to have problems. That's going to mean they can't concentrate. And then that means they're going to start getting in trouble. Next thing you know, they're going to start hauling them off to jail and to juvenile detention. And it's going to go juvenile detention to a prison, pipeline prison. And it's all this is playing a part in it. And the city manager up there, I'm going to find out his name. I'm going to Google his name and find out.
We need to Google his name and his picture, and he needs to be put on blast right along with the governor of Michigan because he's the one that they utilize to do it out of this community. And there are certain things we should not do to each other. Matter of fact, we shouldn't do to anybody, period. There are certain things you just don't do. If you're a human being, why would you destroy other human beings like this and think nothing of it? Yeah, you go on down to the Detroit public school system to start doing your muckety-muck down there. Whoever he is, people need to start looking at him. His picture needs to be circulating by the day. It needs to be what you call on a... See, and nobody has said anything about him. And so he's the one that was utilized to do it. He was a pawn, and I realized that, and they're going for the top man in the scheme of things. Well, let me tell you, that should not just be him. He should be right along with the rest of them that went along with it. And so hopefully somebody will call in to the show and give us his name. And if you want to call in to be a guest on the show, please call 347-215-8717. And I'm just hoping someone has this man's name who is, I think he's an African-American man that really made that decision and was used as a tool and a pawn to get the work done. and then to pretend like they didn't know or it didn't happen, it is just unimaginable. Okay, and I think, Marvin, you've been waiting, or did you want to just listen?
Well, I was just listening. I'm listening. I got in on it late because I was listening to a tape of Dr. Welton, the African-American psychiatrist who I really liked listening to, and I hadn't heard something from her before, and I wanted, it was interesting. I didn't realize it was time to get in, so I was listening. So I'm just listening, so go ahead. This is very interesting to me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
because
what I'm saying about... Go ahead.
Speaking of Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, she has a great book, ISIS, the ISIS Papers. That boy, it was just amazing to read that book. And
absolutely.
Years ago, and she talks about all of these kinds of things and how things are positioned to destroy and do what they do to us as a people, and utilizing some of us to do it as well. And we got to start calling them out, as Dr. Randy says. Calling them out and holding them accountable for what they're doing to our people. This is a biggie.
One of the things she said that I thought I've been thinking about and kicking around myself is that kind of escapes us oftentimes is this, the problem of racism and white supremacy is not a national thing. This is global.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider myself a Pan-Africanist, so as much as I care about my people here in the United States of America, I really truthfully feel that we're not going to be able to make the kind of progress that we really, really want to make just nationally. We have to pretty much reach out to people all over this globe and set things up so we all can do this together, because it's going to be just too hard, you know, to just do it by ourselves here in America. And that's essentially one of the things she's saying. And I totally agree with it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you and her. It's an international thing.
You're absolutely correct. And I believe that if we, like Jada Pinkett Smith is coming out and talking about people, we all should reunite, like come together as one and get on board and start, like basically what she's saying, pull out and we have our own. But not only talking about Academy Award, she should be talking about finances and everything. But see, they don't, you get a lot of black upper class, they don't make a statement until it affects them. Now, she wants people to pull out and let's be separate and let's don't look to people for us to be evaluated, you know, to be whole. Well, where was you as long as you was getting praise from the white man?
I look at it like this, Sister Darcy. Whenever people become enlightened, let's let them be enlightened, because everybody's growing along the spectrum. None of us have seen things in a way and a life that's going to help us all the way through. We've all grown. Think about how much you've grown since last year.
You're absolutely correct. When you said that, when you said what you said, you're absolutely correct. Forgive me, because a light went off in my head. A light moment went off. But it's true, a light moment when you went off when you start talking. That is absolutely correct, because I became aware and started getting involved 5 years ago and been involved ever since. So you're absolutely correct. Because long as things was going fine for me, I was okay. But then when something came at my doorstep, then I became light. You absolutely correct. You right?
The man out east, Brother Brown, has been on the road traveling ever since. Some of us were born like that, and we just been, you know, came from that kind of a family, just like that Senator Pinckney did down in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. He came out of that family. Oh my goodness, Help me out, Brother Brown. What family was he in? The senator that got murdered, assassinated in North Carolina, in South Carolina? Charles?
I'm not too familiar with that, but I want to say something about Dr. Frances Crespo Elson, because I had an opportunity to personally meet her prior to her transition. And she was having a problem with the Jews up in D.C. And I was in Baltimore at the time, and I met her at her office. And, you know, she had been used by a couple of lawyers, one black and two white ones. She didn't know what to do, and they was trying to take her house from her. And I showed her how to, I couldn't represent her in court, but I wrote a couple of documents for her that allowed her to get her case back in court. But one of the things that me, her, and Dr. Neely Fuller conferred on was that if you don't understand white supremacy and racism as a tool and a system of oppression, that everything you think you want to understand will only confuse you. And on all of her lectures, if you notice, if you look at her DVDs, she always had a chalkboard. And she would always use the same scenario in trying to browbeat this into our heads, the African people, that white supremacy controls everything, every aspect of our life that was orchestrated by European people. Everything. There was nothing left out. Religion, law, politics, education, economics, they controlled it all. So when you see people like Jada Pinkett Smith and Spike Lee, now Spike Lee don't talk about the honorary Oscar that they just gave him. They just gave him an Oscar, not in front of everybody else. They awarded him an honorary Oscar. See, he wasn't good enough to get an Oscar for Malcolm X. But they gave him an honorary Oscar. See, and Negroes do not need honorary award. Negroes need honorary award. Africans don't. And in reference to people with money, there's a difference between having money and having wealth. We have a lot of African American people, as they call themselves, that have money. We have very few African people in this country that have wealth. They don't pass anything down to the next generation and teach them how to progress those elements.
That's right.
And we haven't had that since integration. Once integration came in, all of our neighborhood businesses were destroyed. Why? Because of white supremacy and racism. All of our schools were destroyed because of white supremacy and racism. I hear you talking about what happened in Flint, Michigan. And I hear you talking about the Negro pine that was used who worked with the government or whatever. But let me say this. There are no elements that are associated with environmental racism. And this is what this is. This is environmental racism. Okay? That means that this anytime you have an element of the environment that is geared to the destruction of a certain ethnic group of people, it's called environmental racism.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that could not have taken place without the governor of Michigan knowing what went on in that procedure. He should be indicted for environmental racism because he, as the head of that state, an elected official, knew that this was going to take place and destroy these people's lives.
Well, it's also genocide. He should be charged with genocide, as Emperor says. Genocide. This is black.
Absolutely. But
you got genocide right there staring at you in your face. It's a very clear case for it.
Right.
Well, right now in modern times, genocide is accepted by these governments. They call it ethnic cleansing, and that's final. They don't call it genocide anymore, and they don't do anything about it either. That's something that people need to understand and realize. They don't treat genocide the way it needs to be treated any longer. It's, you know, they just don't. I mean, look what they did. Look what was happening in Bosnia. That was extreme genocide. And all they said was ethnic cleansing, and they kind of throw that term around in a very matter of fact term. It's a euphemism. They kind of candy coat genocide verbally, and that's what they're doing. It is absolutely genocide. But the whole process of white supremacy is genocide. The whole process.
What they did in Bosnia, though, they had an antidote for that. They allowed those people to come over here and get jobs and lead productive lives.
They always do that.
Yeah, they allowed those people that were in Serbia and Bosnia and places like this. This government allowed them free education. They allowed them the opportunity to come over here and start businesses. My problem is we as a people continue to do a lack of lip service. We do nothing progressive to stop anything. And the main thing that we need to stop doing is practicing religions that are associated with Eurocentric values and standards.
And that's going to be very hard, brother, because there is not a more religious a member of the human family than our people. And that's what the problem is.
Wait a minute. You didn't let me finish.
I just wrote a little piece, and I stated that we would rather debate and argue with each other over religion as opposed to getting down and dealing with the nuts and bolts, elements of our true problems. And whatnot. You got the I'm an Israelite, whatever, and I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, and the scriptures say that. When meanwhile the wolf is blowing the door down, and we still in there arguing about which religion. First of all, ain't all of us going to be subscribed to no one single religion. It's not going to happen. That needs to be pushed aside so we can work together to do what we have to do. But the bottom line is we won't do it. And that, you're right, that's a major roadblock in our salvation as a group of people.
I don't see us doing it
because we're just a very religious people.
What we have not learned as a result of many people coming before us to land the foundation and groundwork for us to have an understanding is that we have not looked into the element of African spirituality.
Most of the religion or belief systems that our people had, those are pagan and blah, blah, blah.
Honestly, you cannot
get them to understand. I'm speaking in my own family, my mother, my sister, they. Man.
I asked you a question. Can I please get my statement across before you interrupt me? That's what I asked you.
Well, I didn't mean it. I was just corroborating what you said.
I don't cut across anybody, and I think it's very impolite and unprofessional to do that.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to interject that. I'm very sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I meant was that as intelligent as we are, with the knowledge and wisdom that we possess, it is very unethical for us not to research, whether it be personal or whether it be group, to research our own African spirituality, find out where we came from prior to somebody telling us where we came from. And I think that's the most important thing. And me and Dr. Wilson, we dwell on that for a long period of time. It is essential that we learn who we are. And that's one of our, as you said earlier, that's one of our problems. And I think it's time now for the so-called conscious community not to continue to debate anybody's religion. We don't have time to debate anybody's We don't have enough time to decipher, you know, whose God is better than the next man's God. Let's sit down as a conscious group of people and research it amongst ourselves, find out where it came from, learn from it, and embrace the power that our ancestors left us. I mean, because this is a spiritual war, and we're not going to win it fighting with somebody else's weapons. It's just like bringing a knife to a gunfight. You're not going to win. And we have these powers that's available to us, and we need to utilize them. And the major thing is that we have to start organizing, and we should not separate elements of man and woman. We have to look at the Trinity as being a threefold element that we were not told about. The Trinity consists of man, woman, and child, which makes up the nucleus of the family. So when we have women out here that are progressing to have an all-women thing or all-men thing, that is totally unacceptable. Why are we trying to still separate ourselves? That's unheard of. We need to come together instead of trying to separate ourselves. And that's why we're all this fragmented and disoriented and can't organize, because we're still trying to utilize elements of white supremacy in our myth. If we do something, the women need to be right by our side, because that's what it took to create a family. If we as black men have something that we have going on, we need to incorporate our women. If our women have something, they need to incorporate us. We can no longer stand by and allow elements of feminism or homosexuality or whatever they want to call it, because these are terms that they coined. We need to get rid of all of that foolishness and come together and realize that we have to save our children. Our children are being destroyed at an alarming rate, and we have done nothing about it but carry on useless conversations, have meetings, have banquets, and go right back to square one, and the next day you find a missing black child. We need to be tired of that. The black men need to arm themselves, organize themselves, and protect their own community. There's no constitutional amendment that says that you cannot protect what's yours. And we don't need a convention. We don't need a meeting place. All we need is like minds to say that we're tired of it. And we're not going to allow anybody to come into our community and destroy our women and our children. That would stop a whole lot of this stuff. When somebody comes into your community and they don't look right, then they will be eliminated by any means necessary. Pick on all my children. I'm finished.
Okay, thank you, Brother Brown. And I agree with you on the point of man, woman, and child. And I agree that we have to be together. We have to stick together. And that's really one of the reasons Women United, it says Women United, one of the reasons.
Yes, you're right.
We have to have some time together, but maybe a little bit discussion otherwise, because tend to be the men just disallow the women. But, Sister Dorothy, I want you to tell us about that child over in Kentucky. Brother Brown talks about that, it reminded me. You had a couple of situations that we won't hear on national news, but here's another travesty of a woman, a baby, a little girl, really.
Yeah, and I like Mr. Brown is so on helping the women. There is a 16-year-old child that was taken from school to the juvenile detention center. The parents goes there to pick the child up. They claim when they went in the cell, the child was dead in the cell. They saying that they don't know how the child died. They won't tell the family anything. The child was fine when she went there, didn't have no health problems, no nothing. All of a sudden, a little child that was just probably just mischievous winds up dead at the sheriff's department in Kentucky. So we need to find out, because her family is petitioning, and I got it off of Dr. Short page, and it's beginning to circle now. They said Black Twitter and something else is going crazy over the story. The story is getting out. They want to know why this child died. They will not tell the family. They are not saying anything of how this child died.
The first question is, why was she incarcerated?
Brother Brown, if you don't sit down at school, they'll incarcerate you.
Yeah, but they can't incarcerate you for that. See, that's the thing about we have Black attorneys that know the law and are not able to stand, are not scared to stand up in front of these white folks and proclaim what they know to be right. You can hold a child until the parents come. In order for a child to be detained in such a manner, it has to be a court order.
Well, that's what they were doing, is detaining her till the parents came, and when the parents came, she was dead.
She was dead. That is absolutely correct. But the family wants to know, how did this child die? And
right,
this is
she
what
had
we...
to have caused the death.
Well, this happened on the 13th, and we all know what they do. When
no,
something
happened, yeah.
They...
January 7th.
11th, okay, 11th of January. So when it happened, and here it is the 19th, we're only talking 8 days out. You know they'll hold that down for a year about what really happened to this child, like they always do, because they got balls in their park.
The only thing we have to do is prove it. We had the same problem up here in Salisbury. They shot a young Haitian boy down, and they would not release him to the family. Okay, I made it mandatory that before that boy's body was involved, that his family had to, number one, read the autopsy report, which we know came from a gunshot wound, but number two, the family had to identify the body and make sure there was the right person in his bag. And I made a funeral director. I made him open up the bag. I went in there with the family, and I let the family identify that boy before they had a film. You have certain rights, especially when it's your job, that you have to push for.
And
this laying down stuff, I'm tired of people laying down. And I understand the situation, because there's not that many people to stand up.
But, Brother Brown, what I'm saying here is when the family step up, like Tamir Wright's mother was on TV this morning, she stepped up. She pushed and tried to do whatever she could to get them to do something. They don't do anything. They're not doing anything. Even when you step up and try to do something, they still not doing anything. It's like we got to stand still.
Who is they?
The system.
Who is they?
The system. When you go to the system to try to seek justice, there is no justice. There's no justice for people of color.
Right. Now, we're not people of color. We're African people. Well, I don't use that terminology because we're African people. And we act like we're scared to say the word African.
And we're the ones that's getting at, you know, bottom of the barrel. In terms of all this stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
so don't you know the...
We are African people. Our descendants came from Africa. Regardless of their skin color, we got African blood running through our veins. So that makes me an African. And I'm not an African-American, because if I was an American, then why the hell you treat me like this?
That's a good question, Mr. Brown. That is a good question.
I never put America on. Isn't that right? If I put out a paper in any kind of government agency, I put African down there. I don't use America because I am not an American. I'm one of the 2 or 3 million out of the 20 million people that's of African descent that's been trapped in America. That's what I am.
And see, and that's all the mother is saying. The mother is begging and pleading for her child. She wants to know what happened to her child. And the sad part is
that's when the black man is supposed to take his rightful position, stand up, regardless of what, by any means necessary, and demand that his whatever questions he has, that they be answered in a respectable way. If I tell you that I want to know how my child died, somebody's head is going to roll. And whether they killed me or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not scared of death. I have no fear of death because I know I'm going with my ancestors. I ain't going to no heaven, and I ain't going to no hell. So once we get that foolishness out of our mind and we can demand things, because once you take the fear of death out of a man, then he will be feared.
Okay, and then let me give another thing that I'm done. I'm not changing the subject, but I want to tell you another story. I try to keep you up on the hot topic. They just opened this big old school in Atlanta, Georgia, and the school is designed only for gay people and people who are struggling with their identity. And they open this school spending thousands and thousands of taxpayers' dollars saying that they want the children to be able to express themselves. They cover front is they have two little white boys, look like they 5 and 6, is hugging and kissing each other. The school was opened up on September 16th, 2015. This school was opened up. Tell me how can our taxpayers' dollars, as people, we should be outraged that our taxpayers' dollars is going to support this type of filth.
Well, if you remember, that's the same symbolism of Valentine's Day. Two little white boys kissing. So, you know, I don't celebrate any of these holidays. I don't do no Valentine's Day, Easter, Christmas, none of them, because they're not my days. They don't belong to me. They belong to somebody else. So let somebody else carry on that nature. But we have to learn how to understand the spiritual essence of symbolism. And we have to be taught that. We have to be taught that the symbols of Eurocentric and Asiatic thought are not African thought.
Well, my number one problem is I want to figure out a way. Tell me, Brother Brown, how can I protest about my taxpayers' dollars?
Well, the only way to do that is stop paying taxes.
Then if you stop paying taxes, they come and take you to jail and take all your property.
No, it can't. That's another thing. If it ain't in your name, they can't take it.
I agree with Brother Brown about what he was saying. We have a similar paradigm. Since I was a child, we didn't celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate religious or political holidays because I don't feel they have nothing to do with me. And I never refer to myself as anything but an African. I never say I'm a black man because I'm not going to reduce myself to being just a color. It's too important. And I never use the term gay. Gay means happy. They have commandeered that word. They are nothing but homosexuals. That's what they are.
That's right.
Not gay. It has nothing to do with being gay.
When they made the term
the gay 90s, they wasn't talking about any sexual thing. It meant happy. That's what it means. Now, they've commented it. I never use that term. I don't say gay. I say homosexual, and that's that. But what he was saying is what I've been feeling for such a long time. We've been going through this identity thing too long. We have to understand what and who we are, that we are Africans. That's all we are. It's as simple as that. There's an African proverb that says, no matter how long a log floats in the river, it will never be a crocodile.
That's right.
And that's what we have to understand. We're Africans. We're nothing else. We ain't colored.